Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Blazers, Memorial Coliseum, 50th anniversary of this franchise. It's going to be a big deal, and there are going to be a lot of people that just view it as a preseason game, and there's going to be a whole nother faction of people that view it as an opportunity to revisit the Blazers' history. Last playoff run, I was at the Moda Center when I met up with Blake Neiman Davis, who is a season ticket holder, and who had been a longtime Blazer fan. His favorite player in the history of the organization, I believe he told me, was Terry Porter. But more importantly, he brought me an envelope on the concourse of Moda Center, an envelope that contained a prize package that the Blazers organization gave to him in March of 1986. Yes, March of 86. See, Blake Neiman Davis was a 17-year-old kid watching the Blazer game at Memorial Coliseum. And due to his age, even though he was picked out of the crowd, he was told he would be unable to participate in the Ford Fan Shot, also presented by Safeway. The Blazers apologized to him, said, sorry, you had to be 18. They gave him a painter's cap as a token of their regrets. He told me he'd never put the painter's cap on. This is a slap in the face, a painter's cap? Come on, you can stick that in a manila envelope. He wanted to shoot the shot. Everybody wants to take the shot. $100,000 at stake, three-quarter court shot. I wrote a column about it. Apparently the Blazers read it. And they have invited Blake Neiman Davis to come to Memorial Coliseum tonight to shoot the three-quarter court shot. He joins us now, live via satellite. Where are you, Blake Neiman Davis?
Currently, I'm at home listening to your show.
Awesome. I love this. I love that you're going to get to shoot the shot.
You know what? It's about time.
Give us the how this sort of unfolded, because I know you know, I wrote about it. You told me your story. I know the Blazers at that point asked me a few questions about it, and I said, you got to let this guy shoot his shot. If nothing more, just to let you get on with your life, Blake. How did it unfold on your end?
Yeah, it was basically just like that. You know, as you mentioned, I've been complaining about this for almost 40 years. You know, when they sent me the painter's cap and the letter, I immediately opened it up. I looked at it. I said, this is unacceptable. I put it back in the envelope, and I've kept the envelope for 40 years. And every time, you know, it's Portland. So if I'm being totally honest, I knew at some point I'd talk to somebody, the right person. They'd think it was a funny enough story. They'd probably let me do it. But for 40 years, I've been telling the story. No one seemed to care. I think it was late last season. I think I made a comment on one of your Twitter threads. You reached out to me. You said you liked the story, and you know, you present the story. At that point, I thought, oh man, this is actually going to happen now. You know, it has to. Like, this means people are seeing it. But I didn't hear anything, you know, at the end of the year. And at the beginning of this year, I was helping my family with the tickets, and I mentioned something to the woman at the Blazers who handles our account. I said, hey, do you happen to see the article? And next thing I know, she started asking me about this first game at the Coliseum. Are you going? And I said, you know, I wasn't sure we were going to be attending because we had something else. She said, gee, I think you should go. And next thing I know, late last week, I sort of got wind of the fact that we should go. And, you know, I believed at that point it was most likely going to be because I was going to be able to shoot the shot. But even at that point, and honestly, as of today, I don't have a lot of the details. And in fact, it wasn't until this morning when I woke up at very early that I saw an email that said, by the way, it's a three-quarter court. Until then, I thought, it's probably going to be a half-court shot. You know, I just didn't have the details. And it really wasn't until this morning that I found out that part, and not even until this afternoon when I realized she basically said, we're going to come get you. You know, it'll be between the third and fourth quarter. And that's all I know as of now.
Blake Neiman Davis is our guest, diehard Blazer fan, season ticket holder, loves his team through and through. Hey, that was a fun playoff run last year, wasn't it?
It was. I can say honestly, in all the years that I've been a Blazer fan, and I've been very lucky. You know, I attended the final, many of the finals games. That playoff run last year was as enjoyable as anything I've ever gone through. And look, not just Dame's shot, which was incredible. The whole run, I just really enjoyed the team. I enjoyed the run. I had no expectations, and it was as good as it's ever been.
Blake, the three-quarter court shot is not one you see a lot. Everybody does the half court now. Have they insured this? Do you get $100,000 if you make the shot, or is it just you get to close the loop?
I have no idea. honestly, you know, as I said,
you get a painter's cap.
I'm praying that I don't get another. I already have one painter's cap. I definitely don't need another. You know, I don't know. And truthfully, I didn't even really go out and take any of these until probably Friday. And Friday and Saturday, I went out and shot, but I was mostly doing half court. This morning was the first time that I thought, I should try this three-quarter court thing. It's a very different animal than a half court shot. My technique, I'm calling a slingerang. It's like I'm touching the ball in between my, you know, my wrist and my hand, and I'm sort of sidearm flinging it sideways. And the truth is, it might hit the scoreboard. It's entirely possible to go over the backboard. I hit the rim once, and I quit after that. And I'm just, you know, hoping that my arm isn't so stiff later that I'm unable to actually make it past half court.
You were 17 years old in 1986. Yep. That's going to put you damn near. Are you 50?
I am 50, which actually lines up perfectly, you know, with the celebration of the 50th season. I'm not sure if that's why they did it, but honestly, I think it, from a marketing standpoint, it aligns very well.
They probably did it to just to get, let's just get this guy. He's get him quiet. Get, for crying out loud, he's just been nauseatingly. Because you tell, you say you when you go to games and they shoot that Toyota shot for the Toyota.
Yeah.
Every game you have to be thinking that, man, where's my shot?
Yep. No, I did. And, you know, as you said in the intro, it's true. You know, they walked me up into the concourse, told me that I was going to take the shot. I was excited. They asked me how old I was, and halfway through answering 18, I realized what was happening, and I tried to change it to 18. You know, I said 7 to 18. And the guy looks at me and said, no. And I said, look, here's the deal. Let me shoot the shot. I'm never going to make it, but if by some miracle I do, don't give me the prize. Just let me do it. And I tried to talk my way into it. They were having none of it. You know, he said, oh, we'll send you a great prize. And I thought, okay, that's fine. Had they sent me a ball or a signed something, I mean, honestly, anything other than the painter's cap, which you saw, I probably would have shut up. But they didn't. You know, they sent me this painter's cap. I looked, I thought, no, that's actually not, that doesn't seem like an acceptable prize. And, you know, for years, I just moan and groan. You know, as my mom always said, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. I just figured, I'm going to keep talking about it. At some point, someone will just want me to shut my mouth, and they'll just let me do it.
Blake Neiman Davis is our guest. He was 17 in 1986. He did not get to shoot that three-quarter court shot. How'd you do this morning? Was it productive that you took practice shots, or are you sore now?
I am definitely sore now. I will say it was good from the standpoint that I had definite ideas about how I thought it should be shot. You know, I figured, oh, you take a run and fling it up like, you know, like I see, you know, NBA players do. And I immediately realized that that is not something that's going to work for my 50-year-old body, that it's got to be, you know, I mean, you just, you know, you think, I see it. I watched a YouTube video this morning. I thought, okay, that's the way to do it. And I realized it would be a disaster. So the baseball throw is as good as I can do at my age. It didn't quite work as well. So, like I said, it's kind of a half tuck between my hand and my wrist. I can get the distance. The accuracy isn't what I want. And frankly, I just want to... I want to be respectable. You know, I want to have a respectable
hit the backboard. Just hit the backboard.
The backboard, the rim, you know, one of those things. And I'm, you know, as you said, it's not about making it. It's about taking it. I just want to take it, close this loop, you know, and let everyone, you know, have some peace.
Blake, I am really happy that you're getting this opportunity. I see my role. Of course, I'm here to offer commentary on the teams, and I'm here to give analysis. But also, if we can let a 17-year-old kid go free, who has been paralyzed by this, and in some ways, you're stuck. You're stuck as a 17-year-old until you take the shot.
No, it's haunted me. It's haunted me for almost 40 years. And truthfully, this wouldn't have happened without you. You know, the article certainly was the thing that, you know, was seen and then, you know, was used. And I mean that sincerely. I appreciate it because this is happening tonight because of the story you wrote.
All right. I will be paying attention to this. I know everybody will be rooting for you. You don't need to make it. I'm just glad you're getting to take the shot. And I'm glad the Blazers are engaged in this as well. So it's going to be fun. All right, Blake, let us know how it goes. All right.
Will do. Thank you very much. I appreciate all your help.
All right. There he is. Blake Neiman-Davis. 70 feet, 6 inches away from the basket tonight. Memorial Coliseum. Now you have something. If you're going to the game, you have something to pay attention to that has second half ramifications. If you're not going to the game, tune in tomorrow. If you happen to be going to the game, will somebody shoot some video of this for me?
That's what I was about to say. Somebody live stream it so I can see.
I can make sure that happens.
Can you do that, Peter Sampson?
Yeah, yeah. I won't personally be there, but I can make that happen.
Make sure someone shoots it.
Yep.
Make or miss. Even if it's a horrific miss, it's okay. What do you think of that? Just making dreams come true, guys. Closing the loop.
Yeah. I hope he does well. I hope he at least hits the backboard, if not hits it.
I know some people listening probably said, here's a kid who's seen multiple Blazer games up close, brushes with, you know, players. They had season tickets, still has season tickets. This is a first world issue. He didn't get to shoot his shot. I get that. I get it. But I can tell you this. I met with him on the concourse. I asked him to put the painter's cap on. It is a source of pain. He was like, no, I've never put it on, and I'm not putting it on. I said, let me take a picture of you wearing that stupid painter's cap. And he's like, no, no, no. It's like crushed flat because it was stuck in a manila envelope. I'm glad that he's getting to shoot his shot. Here's what I want our listeners to do. He was haunted by this. What is that sports thing that haunts you? What is that thing you never got to do? What is the thing that you think about when you see games? Is it some sporting event you participated in? Is it the foul ball that you had in your hands and it popped out? What is that sports thing for you? You didn't get to see your team win? What is it that's unfinished for you? 503-417-7575. That and the 2 at 2 still ahead. I told the story. I've told it numerous times. I was at Fenway with my wife. She had never been there. I had never been there as a fan. We sat in the seats. I've never caught a foul ball at a game. I told this kid that was in a wheelchair that was sitting beside me right down the first base line between first base and right field, perfect foul ball territory. I told him, I'm sorry if I knock you out of the way, but if a foul ball comes our way, I'm getting it. Sure enough, high pop-up in the seventh inning, floated over our section. Unfortunately, my wife had asked me just a few minutes earlier, would you want to walk around Fenway? I came back to the seat. The kid in the wheelchair said, you're not going to believe it. Foul ball came and it hit your chair, landed on your chair. I said, did you get the ball? He said, no, everybody knocked me over. I think about that every time I see a foul ball, every time I see Fenway Park. Anytime somebody brings up the Red Sox, that regret that the guy we just had on air talked about, not being able to shoot that shot all those years ago, Makes me think about Fenway. What's your regret? What's that near miss you had, that unfinished business that you have? 503-417-7575. Mark in Portland leads us off. Mark, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, John?
Going well.
So when I was like 11 or 12, my dad took me to a Blazer game, and we were playing the Cleveland Cavaliers, and so I brought a bunch of Cyril Brand cards because I know this from Portland. And I ended up, we were sitting in like row one, like seats one, two, row A, and Cheryl Brand's sister was sitting next to us, and she seen me going through all my basketball cards, and she was like, whose cards do you got? And so I told her, I'm like, yeah, I got this guy's card. He plays for Cleveland, but he's from Portland. She's like, oh, I know who he is. I was like, oh, yeah? She's like, yeah, that's my brother. And then she's like, after the game, I can take you down and make sure you get an autograph. And then in the third quarter, he sprained his ankle and then had to leave the game and go to the hospital. So I missed out on getting an autograph.
You never got your autograph.
Never got it.
And that's unfinished business. Daniel's in Northwest Portland. Daniel, what was your missed chance?
Hey, I got a couple of them, short ones. High school, I was trying out for the basketball team. Alarm clock didn't go off. And I missed tryouts that day, pounding on the door at 6:30. Door was locked. I was a cusper as far as making the team. Didn't make the team. Like, part of me still pounding on that door. Second one, Chico State. I was a cross-country runner there, 1998. And the team hadn't made nationals for 10, 15 years. And I was a pretty good runner for them. And then halfway through the season, I got injured. And that team has made nationals every single year since that year, 20 years in a row now. I never got to run that race.
Man, how do you make up for that? Do you go out and run the race? I mean, you can't, it's not like you can go back to college. Joe's in Portland. Joe, what's your missed shot?
Good afternoon, John. Hey, 20 years ago, I take my son to a Portland State basketball game. Halftime comes around. They play a game of bump. He's 12 years old. Wipes out 15 college boys in bump, and then dad has to shoot from half court for a new cell phone. Mm. Well, I just had knee surgery, so I'm on crutches, so they let the kids shoot. Swish. So 20 years ago, the 12-year-old wins a cell phone at Jackson Middle School, but he doesn't have anybody to call because he's the only kid with a cell phone in school.
Well, he made the shot, damn it.
Yeah, and I get calls from parents for the next 3 months. What the heck did you buy your kid a cell phone for? Now everybody wants one.
Yeah, I remember that back in the day, they used to, a free cell phone would be a prize a lot of times. Because it wasn't the phone, it was the plan, the calling plan that they got you on. Hey, we'll give you a phone. The phone was always free. This is a new phenomenon now where the iPhone, and they charge you $50 a month or whatever, $40 a month, whatever they can get from you. Steve's in Lake Oswego. Steve, what's that sports opportunity missed?
Oh, hi, John. So about 1956, I'm in Wrigley Field with my father watching the Dodgers play. And there was some, the pitchers were in the bullpen warming up and things and just hanging around. And so I took out my Ernie Banks autographed baseball and I handed to a couple pitchers, signed it. So two pitchers signed the ball, Clem Labine and Sandy Koufax. And I lost that ball somehow over the. So.
Where is it? Where do you think it is?
I have no idea.
Man, if you knew, you'd probably have it. Yeah, well, you had the memory. You still, they can't take the memory away. I can't take you back to Wrigley Field as a kid. Man. I know one of my dad's. See, my dad was the youngest of three kids. One of his older sisters went to Cal, and she's a big Cal fan. And one of she was in a sorority there back in the day, Aunt Marlene. One of Aunt Marlene's friends in the sorority that she was in was a big baseball fan and had some peripheral tie to Babe Ruth's family. Well, she knew my dad was a big baseball fan at like 9, 10 years old, and so she gave him a Babe Ruth autographed baseball, which he kept. He had no sentimental tie to it, but he kept. I saw it as a kid. I mean, it was a baseball that I was tempted to pick up and play catch with. My dad ultimately, as part of his own professional baseball career, he sold all his jerseys and stuff through an auction site, just got rid of it all. And
that Babe Ruth ball, I think, fetched like 10 grand. I told him, somewhere there's a sorority girl telling her kids, I used to have a Babe Ruth baseball. I can't remember what I did with it. She gave it away to some 9-year-old kid. Brian is in Milwaukee. Brian, what's your thing?
Yeah, I did all the sports, but I loved golf when I got older, and my brother-in-law used to kick my butt all the time. I got down to about a 12 handicap, so we spent every summer in Sun River, and I was, after 9 holes, 3 under, finally beating my brother-in-law's butt, and it started having lightning. And neither my dad or my brother-in-law would continue. And I'm going, I don't care. Right now, I haven't been ever 3 under. And I want to play. But that was I never played the back nine. So,
yeah, they didn't want to play because you were beating them.
Well, probably. But, yeah, it was. I didn't usually beat my brother-in-law. And I was dying to play. But that's, I mean, what the heck?
Well, I can tell you this. It's a victory. It's suspended by weather, but it's a victory.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess.
Take it.
Great show.
Thank you, man.
Good luck.
Appreciate you. All right. Our 2 at 2, the two biggest things in sports.
The 2 at 2.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver has doubled down. That's right. After on Sunday night, the commissioner of the National Basketball Association came out on Sunday night and he said, hey, we're not apologizing, but we are apologizing for Daryl Morey's tweet over the weekend, which he supported the protesters in Hong Kong. People in China, specifically the government in China, did not like the tweet. They are pushing back against the NBA. It's a tough spot for Adam Silver to be in, but you can't simultaneously say, hey, we're a league that grants our players and our executives the right to have their own social viewpoints and be socially aware, and we support free speech, while also trying to do business in China. He should have taken a cue from Nike and Adidas, the companies that have done business in China for years. You know how you do business in China? You say thank you very much and you bow. The NBA, I think, is ridiculous for trying to spin this as, hey, we're just spreading hope and dreams using basketball about going to China and going to Japan as part of this preseason tour. That's nonsense. It's not hope and dreams that the owners are after. They're after eyeballs. They're after dollars. And they know China's got them. 600 million viewers and fans of NBA basketball in China. That's larger than any audience that you can find anywhere in the world. The NBA is in a predicament because it's got a business to run, but it's also trying to save face right here in America, where, by the way, they've priced out the average American family. Yeah, this market's tapped out. That is the bigger issue. They stopped serving America. They stopped serving fans here long ago because they knew there were more lucrative revenue streams out there. Well, have fun chasing that revenue stream. In the meantime, Oregon and Oregon State preparing for big football games this weekend. Mario Cristobal, the Ducks coach, he's looking forward. He's got Colorado on Friday night. And by the way, Colorado has the 124th ranked pass defense in the country. Oregon happens to have a pretty good quarterback. Will Oregon please put the ball in the air? Will they please let Justin Herbert have some fun on Friday night? This is the perfect opportunity to get it going. Cristobal said there were some good takeaways from the Cal game. Specifically, the defense was great. I agree. He thinks the offense showed improvement. I think it did, but I'd like to see the play calling and the slop go away. Oregon was sloppy on Saturday, beating Cal. Meanwhile, Jonathan Smith, he's got number 15, Utah. He talked about them.
Been able to watch a little of tape, physical, well coached, and it's really both sides of the ball now. They've been known for defensive play for a long time and they're really good, but I think it's really impressive to see what they're doing offensively, possessing the ball, quarterbacks playing at a high level, they can run the ball, and so we got our work cut out for us.
They do have their work cut out for them, but Oregon State's got some weapons, and I think they got a coaching staff that is very creative. See, this game does not, to me, come down to whether or not Oregon State can score 30 or 40 points. It comes down to how good can they be on defense against Utah? By the way, Utah coming off a bye week. It's a dicey one for Oregon State, but again, first time since 2016, if they win, that they'll have back-to-back wins. I'm not talking non-conference. I'm not talking conference. I'm just talking back-to-back wins. How long ago was 2016? Well, the Beavers won the Civil War. Also, Adley Rutschman was a kicker for Oregon State. He's now a catcher in the Orioles organization. That's your 2 at 2, the two biggest things going on. Trash talk on Monday Night Football. Nick Bosa trash talked Baker Mayfield. You'll hear all about that. Plus, I also have some great sound. If you are somebody who likes college basketball and hates legislation.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.